friends. Isn't it fascinating how relationships bring us immense joy, but also profound heartache? They're a dance of emotions, yet how often do we truly, deeply, consciously invest in the relationship we have with ourselves and loved ones? That investment, that time, and that energy is the most powerful gift you could ever bestow upon yourself and those you love. As life didn't give us a manual on handling emotions and communication challenges, we also weren't taught the art of building romantic ties or how to deeply love and value ourselves. But I'm here to share more life-affirming, relationship-enhancing wisdom with you all. And now you can also find this transformational content pouring onto Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Dive into the show notes to connect with all the magic. Here's for growth, love, and endless learning.
Hi, I'm Nicola Beer, and I'm going to be talking about the fear of abandonment in this episode today. The fear of abandonment is a worldwide issue, a deep-seated issue that stems from our primal need for human attachment, a powerful force that connects us to others. And by primal, I mean that this need for connection is ingrained in us from infancy, a period where we experience a profound sense of oneness. We need to be attached to our parents or caregivers for survival. If we weren't attached to them, we wouldn't survive. We'd need them to clean us, feed us, look after us. So this attachment energy is prevalent in mammals and in humans. It's a need to attach to survive. However, most children will go through periods of connection and disconnection. There'll be some times where a need for connection is unmet, where a child is physically, emotionally disconnected from their parent. This can happen in the most loving families, where a parent becomes preoccupied with work, an elderly family member, another sibling, or their own emotional, mental, or physical health struggles. This can create a distance where the child feels detached, separate, or unseen. This painful experience can create fear, a fear of being left, of not being able to survive, of being unwanted. Then there are some of us who have gone through more obvious disconnection from parents, where the abandonment fear may be easier to spot and understand. For example, losing connection with a parent through divorce, death, being sent to boarding school, or a parent working overseas, or growing up in a household where it was unpredictable, felt unsafe, where you were in fear. This could be having an angry parent, an alcoholic parent, a mentally unwell parent, or in an environment where the parents were fighting a lot or disengaged. And this can all lead to that sense of unsafety, where a child feels disconnected. And this disconnection results in an accumulation of thwarted attachment energy. The attachment energy is hindered. And this common human experience can lead to a person carrying a fear of being left, hurt, or rejected, which can manifest into self-abandonment and unhealthy relationship patterns. The most significant aspect of this fear is the pervasive sense of mistrust that it instills. At its core, living with a fear of abandonment means living in a state where the trust is constantly undermined. This lack of trust is not just about doubting others. It extends to a fundamental uncertainty in the reliability and consistency of those who are supposed to be the closest and most dependable, like parents during childhood and your spouse, your romantic partner, during adulthood. This inconsistency, connection and disconnection, can lead to an inability to fully relax and trust, not just in relationships, but within oneself. The fear of abandonment, therefore, is much more than a fleeting concern. It is a deep-seated anxiety that affects how individuals perceive and interact with the world around them, shaping their relationships and emotional landscape from childhood into adulthood. Self-abandonment can manifest in various different ways, sometimes attaching to substances like food and alcohol or other behaviours like shopping or sleeping as ways to cope and escape the uncomfortable feeling of worry, not feeling good enough, and shame. Self-abandonment can also be caretaking for everybody else and putting yourself last. It can be over self-reliance, where you don't let anybody in or look after you. In order to heal the fear of abandonment, we need to look at how our abandonment wounds play out in our romantic relationships. So that's going to be the focus of today's episode. How to spot it in your romantic relationship, how to spot your behaviours, and then we're going to, after recognising it, look at, in episode 2, stopping self-abandoning patterns. So I'm going to give tips with each example, and there's 8 main ways that the fear of abandonment and previous abandonment wounds can show up in relationships. The key to healing is to do work on ourselves, how we show up in the relationship, and also in our relationship with ourselves. And it also involves consistent actions, because talking doesn't solve anything. I'm going to share all of this with you so that you can become closer to your partner and really feel that joy of being loved and held and ultimately safe in your relationship, as well as developing that relationship with yourself, looking after yourself, stopping those self-abandonment patterns. And I'm so excited to share these tips with you because I found that traditional counselling, traditional psychotherapy, talk therapy, it doesn't work when it comes to the deep-seated fear of abandonment. Our abandonment wounds go deep. Our coping mechanisms to handle them are deeply ingrained from childhood or from significant adult relationship trauma. And so traditional therapy methods, they often don't work. They often rely on catharsis. You talk about something, you feel better, you gain insight, and then that's it. However, gaining insight doesn't stop or change the self-abandonment patterns. It doesn't change the relationship patterns that take place because you're driven by a fear of not being good enough, of being left, of being rejected, and you act in ways which you don't like, you don't want to be like, and you're not like that anywhere else apart from in your closest relationships. I did so much therapy. I knew my problems inside and out. I knew that I had an attachment to alcohol. I had an attachment to work. I was sabotaging my relationships. I would end them before they even began because I was so scared of being hurt in relationships. And our relationship experiences, how we are, our patterns, our coping mechanisms, whether that's shutting down or being anxious and clingy and needy, it comes from this fear of abandonment. And please don't get me wrong. Understanding my abandonment wounds in my early therapy years was very helpful. I realized that having an abusive parent, my mother was physically and emotionally abusive, that is abandoning a child because my emotional needs for safety, for love, for connection weren't being met. My dad was away quite a lot. He was very disengaged. And then he left when I was 13. So that was another abandonment. Having therapy was so useful to understand why I had certain behaviors, why I used alcohol to numb myself or became so attached to work, where I became self-reliant and didn't want to let anybody do anything for me because I couldn't trust. I had a fear of people. I learned just rely on myself. I had a wall up. And I knew all of this after a year of therapy. However, I couldn't break the cycles, the patterns, the attachments that I had. It was only through understanding how our neural pathways are formed, how our behaviors are so deeply ingrained, how our life experiences, our emotions, they're stored in the cells of our bodies, and how our neural pathways are formed. And that in order to release any trauma, no matter how small or mild we may think it is, we need to be working in a far more holistic way, taking actions consistent actions to build the way out of it, where we can create a life where we're happy with ourselves, happy and at peace in our relationships. So in this episode and the next episode, I'm going to be talking about those actions and those tips you can take to enhance your life. So there are 8 main ways the fear of abandonment, that emotionally deep-seated concern that one will be left alone or rejected by those they love, can manifest. The first is anxiety and insecurity. Individuals with a fear of abandonment may experience constant anxiety about their relationship stability. They often seek reassurance from their partner, wanting to know if their partner still finds them attractive, sees them, values them, notices their efforts. Many can also fear any small disagreement or issue could lead to the end of the relationship. They need to resolve conflict in the moment. They can't wait. They need to talk to their partner straight away to know what their partner is thinking and feeling without giving them the space to process the disagreement. They often panic if a partner is distant. The insecure partner may threaten to leave the relationship to get attention and reassurance. They don't actually mean that they want the relationship to end or they want to leave. They just need reassurance. They're so desperate to be comforted that they'll say anything to get some validation. Emma often felt anxious that her partner Tom didn't want to be with her. They had been married for 4 years and Tom worked in another city. So during the week, a few nights, he'd stay in the other city. Emma felt unsafe with this. She constantly needed reassurance about his commitment. She wanted to spend every night and day together. She presumed that his working away and them not living together full time was actually not about work, but his need to be away from her. She was insistent that they spend every day together, which would mean a 4-hour commute each day for the one that travelled. I worked with Emma to manage her anxiety and increase her self-esteem. In the breakthrough process, we realised that her sense of not being wanted came from childhood, where her parents were preoccupied and gave her little attention. Her father was a workaholic, and her mother took on all the home and family responsibilities, as well as caring for both sets of parents. Neither of them were able to meet her emotional needs. Her father was strict and focused on her school achievements. Her mother praised her for being self-reliant and not causing any fuss. This experience of abandonment left her to question her husband's commitment. His working and staying a few nights away made her feel anxious, that he didn't want to be around her, that he was neglecting her deliberately. And so she began shouting at him, telling him that he was failing as a husband. Her anxiety manifested in angry outbursts, which led to Tom shutting down. He saw these threats as unreasonable and became scared of her hurtful words, which led him to actually retreat to his place where he worked more and more. So by the time they came to me, there was a lot of anxiety, distrust, and distance between them. I helped Emma to realize that her childhood was causing these fears, to release that trauma and to see the good that Tom was doing. Tom also joined in the sessions to understand Emma's fears, to understand her needs better, so he could reassure her without having her complain or to ask for it. If you find yourself anxious in your relationship, if you have a fear that your partner isn't interested in you, or you might lose them, it's important to look at where your anxiety is coming from and what you need to express to your partner in a calm way so they listen. And what solutions or what actions could make you feel safer and happier? The second way that the fear of abandonment can show up is in clinginess or overdependence. This is where a person becomes overly dependent on their partner for emotional support and validation. This overdependence can strain the relationship as the partner may feel smothered or pressured. Alex felt the need to be with his partner, Sarah, constantly, and panicked when she spent time with others. He was in denial about his need to be with her all the time, and he just used to come up with excuses for why he should join her in activities or why her friends and family weren't good for her. It was hard for him to admit to himself that he just felt safer being with her. He made his life about her, and she had little independence. Sarah felt like she was losing herself, and she started to push back. Once Alex realized that his behavior was pushing her further away from him, and that he might even lose her with his clinginess, and that she wasn't finding it attractive, we explored where it came from and worked through his abandonment wound so he felt more at peace. Then we created a plan for him to enjoy his own independence, where Alex took up horse riding and paddle tennis independently, helping him build confidence, make new friends, and reduce his codependency. Setting healthy boundaries in relationships is key, but this can't be done if the deeper fears and wounds aren't acknowledged and addressed. Now their relationship is amazing, the strongest it's ever been. So talk about this, address it with actions and solutions if you feel that you or your partner is too clingy and too reliant on you. Number three is jealousy and possessiveness. Fear of abandonment can manifest as jealousy or possessiveness, where individuals might become excessively worried about their partner's interactions with others, fearing that these interactions could lead to infidelity or loss of interest. Linda's jealousy escalated whenever her partner, Mike, interacted with female colleagues or went out to staff parties or events. Through therapy, Linda learned to challenge her irrational thoughts and let go of the constant doubting that Mike was going to be attracted to someone else or not be able to say no if a woman threw herself on him. She would say to him, "I do trust you, I just don't trust the other women." And he would retort, "Well, that means you don't trust me, because if women did throw themselves on me, which they don't, I know how to protect myself and our relationship." This wasn't enough to calm Linda's thoughts. She tormented herself day and night, worrying about it and also comparing herself to other women. The jealousy and trust issues were with Linda. There was no point working on the relationship. And thankfully, she realized that. She knew that she was creating a prison for herself. She was pushing him further away. She felt that she was losing herself. And the constant negative thoughts and comparing her body with other women's bodies was just leaving her to feel more and more down about herself, which then led to self-abandonment patterns, which I'll be talking about in the other episode. Linda's abandonment wound came from her own father cheating and being cheated on in a previous relationship. Through healing this wound and overcoming the self-abandonment patterns, she was able to free herself from that inner critic and take loving self-actions, building her trust in herself that no matter what happened, she would be okay. And from this strong place, she was able to trust Mike, to stop interrogating him and asking him questions about whether the people he worked with were attractive or not, or when he was on his phone wanting to know who he was talking to. She was at peace, and this made their relationship so much stronger. The passion, the excitement, that honeymoon phase came back in full force. Which leads into the next one, number four, avoidance of intimacy. Conversely, some individuals may avoid getting too close in a relationship as a protective measure. They might believe that by not getting too attached, they can avoid the pain of potential abandonment. This is where people get into long-term relationships. They may commit, have children, get married, but they hold part of themselves back. They may not share their feelings. They may avoid deep conversations or find it hard to let go in sex. They also may be secretive, tell white lies because they're scared of being truly seen and vulnerable. Saad, who did my breakthrough process to understand why he cheated on his wife several times, despite loving her so much, discovered that part of the reason he cheated was because he found it easier to be intimate with strangers than his wife. He didn't feel comfortable opening up his heart to her. He didn't feel comfortable sharing his sexual desires. He didn't feel comfortable letting her know that he was struggling in work. his sex life with his wife was not how he wanted it, because he lacked confidence. But with women he didn't care about, he could be open about his feelings, his sexual fantasies, and his body and mind were free. His wife naturally took this personally. She felt that there was something wrong with her, and he was triggering her abandonment wound again and again. Not only through the cheating, he also had a habit of telling small lies. He would lie about what he had to eat or what he had been drinking. He also avoided telling her his desires and goals and dreams for the future through fear of rejection. Saad had been sent to boarding school at the age of 8, and he found it so difficult to trust and to be himself in a relationship through fear of being alone. Another couple that I worked with were very distant in their relationship, and they'd been like that their whole relationship. They had superficial conversations. Neither of them enjoyed or knew how to have deep conversations. They wouldn't share their vulnerabilities. They were scared. They had walls up. They were great business partners, co-parents. They were able to get projects done. However, expressing love, expressing struggles was too difficult. I worked with them more closely to break down the walls that they'd built up by taking small steps towards showing vulnerability in their relationship, sharing what had upset them, what excites them, what scares them. If you find yourself in this situation, first create a safe place and space where you can communicate together more deeply. By that, I mean, make sure that you'll listen to each other, you won't interrupt each other, you'll give each other that attention, you'll listen rather than judge or comment, you'll choose the right time of day, and then start to share your thoughts openly. The fifth way that the fear of abandonment can show out in relationships is self-sabotaging behaviors. Sometimes the fear of abandonment leads to people sabotaging their relationships. A person might unconsciously create problems or end a relationship prematurely, driven by a belief that it's better to leave before being left. This is my story. I would sabotage all my relationship opportunities when dating. I'd find every reason why being in a relationship at this time in my life was not a good time, that I needed to focus on work, or I needed to lose weight, or I needed to do something else before I got into a relationship and started dating. When dating, I would also find faults in every man that I dated. I'd scare myself. I'd see red flags that weren't there. I'd make pink flags into red flags. I was so scared of being hurt and left that I unconsciously, I wasn't aware of this, sabotaged my relationship chances. I pushed men away. I became so hard to date because I couldn't commit to seeing a person more than once a week. I found that because of this, I also attracted men with the same issue who showed me red flags because they also were scared of being hurt, saw red flags in me. And it was, quite frankly, many years of suffering. Thankfully, I realized that every man that I meet can't be wrong, that there must be something wrong with me. And realizing this, but also, and this is crucial, having self-compassion for myself enabled me to unravel my abandonment wound. Of course, when a parent is emotionally or physically abusive, like my mum or my dad who left and was so disengaged and was so uninterested and so not there for so much of my childhood, no wonder I was scared to trust someone with my love, to be vulnerable, to rely on someone. And this fear of abandonment and that abandonment wounds that I went through, created me to abandon myself And part of the way I abandoned myself was through being a workaholic and using alcohol to numb myself. And so these patterns of self-abandonment also sabotaged my relationships. In addition to being self-reliant, where I wouldn't let someone in. And I'm very grateful for that insight because I felt so stuck thinking, are all these men wrong? Or is it real? Is it not real? And one of the hardest things I think to go through in life is to doubt your reality, where you're not sure, is it my trauma or is it reality? Are these people really not safe and not right for me? Or is it my mind trying to protect me? Am I trying to keep me safe? And that can be a really difficult thing to understand. And that can happen in any relationship, regardless of the fear of abandonment, where you start to doubt and question your own reality. It's very scary because it's consuming. You just feel lost. And so that's so good to get help if you're in that situation. So I would stop dating people. I would convince myself that later, I kept pushing relationships back, kicking the can down the road, as the expression goes. I just didn't have the time and energy to focus on it because I was abandoning myself and self-sabotaging. Then speaking to lots of people and helping lots of people with the fear of abandonment, I realized that I wasn't alone. I'm sure we all know beautiful, attractive, loving friends that are single and that are sadly stuck in a cycle of being single. And they're either self-sabotaging or they're self-abandoning. Thankfully, I went deeper than understanding my problem. I did a breakthrough process. I learned how to clear from my body, from the inside out. And thankfully, I now love helping people to break free from their fear of abandonment and help them heal their abandonment wounds so they can live authentically, look after themselves, and have deep, rich, rewarding relationships. Number 6 is difficulty in trusting partners. Trust issues often accompany the fear of abandonment. Individuals might struggle to fully trust their partner, always on the lookout for signs of betrayal or disinterest. Raj had trouble trusting partners after a past betrayal, always suspecting infidelity. He found trusting his wife's words difficult. He would question everything. He'd want to validate everything that she said. Number 6, difficulty in trusting partners. Trust issues often accompany the fear of abandonment. Individuals might struggle to fully trust their partner, always on the lookout for signs of betrayal or disinterest. Raj had trouble trusting partners after a past betrayal, always suspecting infidelity or trusting his wife, Melissa's words. He would question everything, want to validate what she said, and she felt interrogated. He also had an issue with certain friends that she went out with. He wouldn't allow her to go clubbing or to beach days with her friends in case sleazy men were there. He just felt on edge a lot of the time, which came out as anger in the relationship. He got angry because his negative thoughts would spiral and he felt insecure, but he couldn't see this easily. So he attacked her rather than looked within. I worked with Raj to break through that negative inner talk and for him to see the real truth, the truth that he was safe and loved by Melissa. She was loyal, loving, caring, and that he needed to be able to receive her love and feel worthy of her love. If you have difficulty trusting others, it's likely that you have experienced some childhood or adulthood reasons why you feel or experience people as unsafe. It's so important to look at that and work on exploring these past experiences so that you can free yourself from living in an unsafe world where you can't trust, where you're on edge, where you're doubting and checking. It's so time consuming and emotionally draining. Trusting life, trusting yourself, choosing those that you let into your life with positive energy is such a beautiful experience. Number 7, seeking unhealthy relationships. those with abandonment issues might repeatedly enter into unhealthy or unsatisfying relationships. They may believe that they do not deserve better or fear being alone so much that they tolerate negative treatment. I've worked with so many people who accept breadcrumbs for love and think, wow, I'm being so loved, when they're just literally being breadcrumbed, being given small, tiny little bits of love and not full, open, deep love. If you find yourself attracting people that want to control you, that put you down, that lower your sense of self-worth, that want to keep you small, but are selfish, all about themselves, then this could be a form of self-abandonment, which I'm going to dedicate the whole next podcast to, looking at self-abandonment patterns. If you're putting up with being treated like trash, if you're blamed for all the relationship problems, if you're blamed for their unhealthy reactions, anger, drinking, gambling, cheating, whatever it is, it's so important to work on your own sense of feeling valued, your self-worth, your self-esteem, cultivating self-love, and recognizing red flags in relationships is essential for you. Address them, set healthy boundaries so the pattern and the cycles do not continue, unless you do that inner work to truly see the beauty, the love, the good in you. Then you may keep on attracting the same unhealthy patterns. Number 8 is emotional regulation challenges. Emotional regulation refers to the ability to manage and respond to one's emotional experiences in an appropriate and adaptive way. People with emotional regulation challenges, especially those stemming from a fear of abandonment, might overreact with intense emotions, such as anger, anxiety, or sadness, to situations that might not typically warrant such a strong reaction. This can baffle, scare, or put off a partner, as a person essentially reacts like a child to a problem and makes small things into big things. They're dramatic. They also may interpret minor issues or misunderstandings as significant threats to the relationship. For example, if their partner is late to a date, they might immediately fear the worst, like their partner has lost interest, or they're deliberately showing them that they're not important, or that perhaps they're being late because they want to have a fight or end the relationship, or putting work before them. They come up with a negative reason for the smallest of life experiences. Another example is if a partner says, look, can we talk tonight, please? They freak out. They need to know everything straight away. They won't be able to wait. Another emotional regulation challenge is difficulty in calming down. Once upset, some people find it hard to soothe themselves and return to a calm state. They can keep replaying situations or words and keep feeling, and rather than calming the emotion, they rocket fuel the emotion. They add oil to the fire. Derek had a disproportionate emotional reaction to minor relationship issues. For example, when his partner Jenna didn't reply back to a text quickly enough, Derek would become extremely anxious and upset, fearing that Jenna was losing interest in him or thinking about leaving him. These situations triggered intense feelings of anxiety, self-doubt, sadness, and sometimes anger in Derek. His emotional responses were often out of proportion to the actual situation, driven by his underlying fear of abandonment. This pattern of reaction strained their relationship. Jenna felt like she was constantly walking on eggshells, unsure of what might trigger him next. Fearing his emotional outbursts, she just became a shell of herself. Derek decided to seek therapy when she was about to end the relationship, when his fear of abandonment was about to come true. He worked with me to work on his anxiety, to be able to control and regulate and calm his emotions in a much better way. For him, breath work really worked. I asked him to pause, to really slow down his breath. And by doing that, his physiological response, his rapid heartbeat, the heat in his body went. And once his body and nervous system was calmer, he was then able to think more calmly. We also did some cognitive restructuring, helping Derek to challenge the negative thoughts, the irrational thoughts that fueled his emotional reactions. For example, instead of thinking, Jenna hasn't texted back, she's going off me, or she's deliberately ignoring me, or I'm not important to her, Derek learned to consider alternative, more rational explanations, such as she might be stuck in traffic or in a meeting, she may be on the phone, other reasons to look at what could be happening. So here are some tips for emotional regulation. First is awareness. Recognize the triggers and emotional responses. Second, try breathing techniques. Practice deep, slow breathing to manage the physiological symptoms of distress. Cognitive restructuring, learning to identify and challenge any irrational thoughts. Self-soothing, developing a healthy way to calm oneself, such as listening to music or going for a walk or engaging in a hobby, taking a shower, doing something to relax. And seeking professional help if your anxiety, your insecurities, your emotions, your anger is out of control. Healing abandonment wounds involves addressing repressed emotions and traumas. In order to change relationship challenges, you need to first release your own negative thoughts about yourself, your relationship, or relationships in general, about your partner, about life. Releasing these fears, the distrust, the doubts, that's the first step. The next step is to build new neural pathways in the brain by taking consistent loving actions, where you use that attachment energy to establish a new, healthy connection with yourself. This then transforms self-sabotage and self-abandonment patterns by taking practical exercises. These are the steps that I use in my breakthrough process. These exercises are part of a longer-term strategy rather than a quick fix. When a person follows the action steps we design together, they can make a dramatic change within 3 months. Working with the subconscious mind, the releasing part, and the designing life-changing habits can be done in as little as 3 days. However, the building new neural pathways, those loving self-actions, need to be consistent, which is why I like to give people 3 months support. The abandonment recovery process is physical therapy for the brain. Instead of building the muscles in your arms, your abs, or your legs, you build this new mental imagery, these new ways of viewing yourself, viewing relationships, viewing life, and more importantly, a new way of feeling and treating yourself. This is where we use the brain to promote peace, confidence, and well-being, therefore strengthening the cognitive part of the brain. This process helps to free you from the fears and adaptive ways you coped with past hurt, allowing greater control over your life. If you resonate with what I'm saying and are ready to revamp the way that you are living, then do check out the Breakthrough Masterclass. It's a powerful training enabling you to open new doors, build self-esteem, and learn healthy coping mechanisms, crucial for addressing the fear of abandonment in romantic relationships, and crucial in stopping the patterns of self-abandonment. You deserve to be at peace, to feel relaxed, and to experience the magnificence love can bring. So go check it out. I'll put the link along with the show, and it's also available on my website. If you like this show, I'd be so grateful if you could hit that subscribe button and perhaps give a like, a rating, or a review. It helps me to be able to create more episodes and reach more people who might benefit from some guidance. Until the next episode, take great care of yourself and each other.
Dear listeners, today I celebrate you. You are among the few who actively nurture their love journey. It's an act of courage, an act of self-love. And if today's episode resonated with you, be a beacon for others, subscribe, rate, and review. Let's spread this love and wisdom far and wide. Craving more? Discover the free resources at nicolabeer.com. You can also find the links to helpful gifts in the show notes. Do also join our Relationship and Wellness Facebook group. It's a haven where we uplift, support, and journey together towards richer, deeper love stories. Remember, you have the power to craft the love story you deserve. Thank you for being with me today, and until next time, keep shining and loving with all your heart.